We've been having Herb wait online here. Herb Weitzbaum. Hi, Herb. What do you think of Purple Rain?
I'm sorry I fell asleep. It's 12 o'clock midnight here in Seattle, and you guys are talking about everything in the world.
Welcome, Herb.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Herb Weitzbaum is the Emmy Award winning.
I was trying to find out how I could see you while you were doing this, and thankfully I wasn't able to make it work.
Yeah, no. You're going to keep trying. It won't work for you, Herb. Unless you're in. I have a face for radio, too. There you go. And Herb, tell everybody about your radio show.
Oh, I just anchor the midday news on Como Radio in Seattle. I've been on TV a lot, but everyone always tells me I have a face for radio, so I've learned to love that moniker.
It is great. Tell everybody about consumerman.com and how they can get your newsletter, and then we've got some important stories to talk about as well.
Sure. It's real easy. Consumerman.com. I post all the stories I do for NBC News on there, and you can also get a lot of resource information. And if you just sign up for the newsletter, I'll make it easy for you. You don't even have to go to the website. You'll get an email from me once a week that tells you what I did, and then you can see if it interests you and go from there.
All right, cool. And you've been covering the consumer beat for many years, my friend.
I started like 1980, before you even play the songs from that era or whatever.
Wow, 1980?
Yeah.
Wow, that's...
I mean, probably even earlier than that, but yes, at least that long. Yes, I've been doing it for a long, long time.
All right. Okay. I have a question for you before we break here.
Okay.
And then we have some stories to talk about. And if people, again, have some consumer issues they want to get in, it's 312-981-7200. This weekend, I am going to spend the entire weekend at a hotel because there's this horror film convention that's happening that I've been a host of for years.
Okay.
And I am not going to use their Wi-Fi.
And
because it's like an open Wi-Fi. So can you explain how sometimes it's better to use up, you know, your phone minutes as opposed to checking into the free Wi-Fi?
If you're going to do something, first of all, if you're going to do something very, very simple, such as you just want to go on the web or you want to see what's going on, there's absolutely no reason why you can't use the hotel Wi-Fi. And some hotels still let you actually plug in the cable, but there's no reason. You just don't want to do banking transactions, financial transactions, anything like that. And if you do log on, make sure you know what the name of the hotel, what the actual name of that free Wi-Fi hotspot is, because if there are crooks in the area trying to set up a fake website, they may have it one digit off what your hotel is called.
Oh, yeah.
So find out exactly what it's called so you know you're going to know, and don't do anything that you wouldn't want the whole world to see or know. I go and I check my email and I go online to see what's in the news. I would do nothing else. If you want to do something else, such as a banking transaction or whatever, update your Facebook page or do something on Twitter, use your telephone. Use up the data or set something up. There's millions of ways you can do it. I'm not a real tech guy, but do it the safe way rather than take a chance of doing something on open Wi-Fi, because that is where the con artists hang out, and they suck your information and go over there.
Yeah, and I always know that, but I learned that from you, Herb. I'm now very, very cautionary about free Wi-Fi. Very, very cautious.
Just a survey that came out like the other day, and people don't even know that. People just see free. They were talking about making the stores like put a sign that says, by the way, you know, everyone can listen to what you're doing here or pay. Because people go, really? They're like, what I'm doing at the coffee shop, or everybody can, like, hello, that's why it's free.
Yeah. Well, they gave you, you know, when I checked in, they gave me like the password that you can use for the free Wi-Fi, and
so that'll be good, because number one, odds are that there was a bad guy setting up a SEMA-like website. Like if it said hotel and yours was really Sheraton or Hilton or whatever, that they wouldn't have the same password. So that's really good. So you know you're on the right site.
Yeah.
You just check to make sure, and then you only do stuff that you know the whole world could possibly see.
Exactly, and it says, but then a warning did pop up. Not a warning, but an information that says people can view this. That's when I said I will not be doing this. And you know, it's interesting, Herb, because I'm staying at the Crown Plaza at O'Hare,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
there's an E on the end of Crown. So
it's
interesting to me that perhaps if some slick, you know, thief out there just dropped the E or something, how many people that would fool if the logo looked?
They could do Crown Plaza Net, or they could do anything that if you were in a rush and weren't paying attention, it could look like the actual website, and then they'd be seeing every single thing you do.
Yeah, wow. All right, Herb, hang on, okay?
You got it.
All right, we got a ton of stuff to talk about with Herb Weitzbaum. Again, if you want to jump in, consumerman.com is the website. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll come back and talk more with Herb. All All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio on the seventh floor of the Trib Tower here until 5 a.m. And Herb Weisbaum is with us. He's our consumer guy, consumerman.com. Any consumer-related concerns or questions, text or call now at 312-981-7200. Herb, before we get to the consumer stories, we got a break for the news in a couple of minutes. I understand you went to go see Diana Ross.
Yes, I did. She was playing at one of the casinos here, and somebody had some tickets they wanted to sell for a cheap price, and we were eighth row back.
Wow.
She was absolutely phenomenal, 72 years old. You know, I'm from Philadelphia, so I grew up on Motown.
Oh, good for you, man, yeah.
I love Motown. And she still had her voice. She looked great. There was no real security. We went right up to the stage. She looked beautiful. Had four costume changes in an hour and 10 minutes. did nonstop 1 hour and 10 minutes of the hits. And, you know, back then the hits were like, the songs were 2 minutes and 30 seconds. You can get a lot in an hour and 10 minutes.
Absolutely.
And she was done. She walked off, and that was, I saw the reviews. She doesn't do an encore, and she was done. But it was absolutely fantastic. Outdoors at one of the Indian casinos here in the Seattle area. We have a lot of venues around here where we have concert outdoors, because in the summertime, every once in a while it doesn't rain.
Well, that's great.
Actually, with global warming, which we all know doesn't exist, we've had a lot of different weather patterns out here, and it's been really warm for us. I know it's nothing for you, but we're hitting 80 degrees. That's like melting weather here.
Oh, no, that for Seattle, wow. That's pretty crazy. Jeez.
Yeah.
So now, had you ever seen Diana Ross before?
I had never seen Diana Ross before. My wife and I have been doing a series of concerts called Check Them Out Before They Check Out. So we saw Frankie Valli and we saw Willie Nelson twice. And Willie Nelson's great. He starts exactly on time, 7:30, an early show.
Yeah.
He does his hour or whatever, and then it's like, and my wife says, come on, it's encore. Like, keep applauding. Honey, they're taking the microphones off the stage. He's back in his trailer taking a nap. He's not coming back out again.
That's one of the great things about seeing older performers.
Yeah.
They'll start on time, want to be in bed by 10.
Yeah, you know, seen the Turtles were here. Herman's got to meet Peter Noon.
Oh, nice.
He's only like 60, I don't know, 65. He was 15 when he was on Ed Sullivan, got to meet him backstage.
Wow.
So a lot of the old groups, it's really fun
That's
to see.
That's great. Well, I had heard that Diana Ross, because she played here not too long ago, and Dave Ennett, who does sports on the morning show here, went to see her and said she was great, played exactly like an hour, 10 minutes, walked off the stage, done.
Right.
Yeah,
and I remember Esmeralda likes the Monkees.
Yes, she does, because the picture you took, we talked about that last time you were on.
That's right, and they're coming to Seattle on their concert tour. They're back for the 50th anniversary tour.
50th anniversary, God, we're old, Herb.
Well, I know.
All right,
know.
Hang on, Herb, we got the news here, hang on.
You got it.
Herb Weisbaum is with us, and we'll get to consumer stuff right after we break for the news, which is next. All right. Good morning, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio, seventh floor of the Trib Tower. I'm your overnight dude till 5. Herb Weisbaum is with us. He is the Emmy Award-winning reporter, covers the consumer beat for NBCNews.com. You can read all of his stories at consumerman.com and subscribe to his newsletter. And Herb, welcome back.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Let's talk about the some of the stories that you wrote. You covered some social media. Everybody loves social media, but Facebook and Twitter are taking a hit. Can you tell us about the details of that?
Sure. This is the survey by the American Customer Satisfaction Index. They do it once a year on social media and e-commerce kind of stuff, or e-business kind of stuff, to see what people are thinking. And again, as you said, people absolutely do love social media, but when they ask people about that, even though we're spending more and more time on it, the big guys dropped a bit. So it's a score of 0 to 100. So 100 is obviously the best. Facebook was at 68, down 9%, and Twitter was 65, down 8%. So they really had a significant drop from the year past. They believe the reason is two reasons that I don't know you can ever fix. Number one is a privacy concern. People are concerned about the information they put out, even though they put out all the stuff, a lot of it that everybody can see. They then have this worry about what people are going to do with it. And they also have the feeling that the advertisements are just annoying in a way, or intrusive or whatever. Again, we've made this trade-off in this country that we get all the stuff for free in return for advertising, but then we get upset when there's the advertising. So it's two problems I don't think they're ever going to solve, but that did go down dramatically for this survey.
The concerns about what we were just talking about before the news, Herb, about me staying at this hotel and using the Wi-Fi, and concerns about what we share. That seems to, according to the story that you wrote, that seems to be a major concern about people and how much they share and how safe it is to share things.
Yeah, but then the disconnect is a lot of people don't do anything to protect themselves about that. I mean, there's a lot of ways, a lot of security protocols that you can do on social media. But if you're doing social media and telling the world everything, you shouldn't be doing that if you're worried about this kind of stuff. So it's a very big disconnect that we know there's the risk, and it's obviously in the back of our minds. But for some people, they're still doing too much of that kind of stuff. So they also looked at search websites, and you want to guess who was number one for search?
Google.
You could Google it. Yes, absolutely. Google was absolutely number one. It's now 84 out of 100. That is an unbelievably good score. And Google now has a 9-point lead over its closest competitors, which is Bing and MSN. Yahoo is a close third. And then at the bottom are like About and Answers.com and AOL and that kind of thing. But Google is just the king, and it's them and then everybody else.
I mean, even if you don't use Google, people say they Google it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Like, get me a Kleenex when you mean a soft tissue for your nose.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
But exactly.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say the one really other interesting thing about this survey, because, the political candidates, especially Mr. Trump, have made a lot of commotion about the news media and et cetera, that they polled people about news and opinion sites. And it was very, very interesting that nearly every single website in this category, well, the category jumped 4% to 76, which is its highest score ever for this survey. And nearly every single website, regardless of political leaning, had more interest and more people saying they liked it in this election cycle. So I guess that's good for those of us like me who are in the news media business, that it seems like, despite all the complaining, people really do like, they like the fresh content, they like the variety of information they're getting, they say the news sites are fairly easy to navigate around, so they seem to be fairly comfortable with that.
It's interesting, though, Herb, and I I'm all for people, using social media to learn and get their news or whatever, but there are so many of these news sites that are barely legitimate, and so many of these things that turn out to be more ad related than actually news related, or just simply ads that they disguise as a news story. Put a headline on there, put a picture of Hillary Clinton, and then it looks like an actual news story.
But what I'm talking about in this survey that did so well, these are actual legitimate news sites. This is like CNN and NBCNews.com and ABCNews.com and the Huffington Post, that kind of thing. We're not talking. So they actually asked people about the well-known Fox News. Fox News, by the way, came out on top. So those are the ones that this did well. But yes, there are a lot of sites on the internet masquerading, pretending to be news sites, and they either have a political bent, they have an agenda, they are disguised advertising. Just because it's on the internet does not mean it's true or accurate. That's correct. You have to know the reputation of the source you're going to, and go to a trusted news source or an opinion site that you know you're getting an opinion of whatever they think.
And for this survey, obviously, they went to the legit, the trusted, the real news sites.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But
they ask people about the real ones, yes.
It is a little bit, sometimes it's very, very confusing, I mean, we talk about this all the time, Herb, how the bad guys are so clever, they can make it look exactly like a legitimate news site.
Oh, it's not even bad guys. It's just people.
Yeah.
People who want to play with you, trick you. A lot of this stuff is done to get you to buy a product. They put up fake news stories. There's all kinds of manipulation, that takes place on the web. And you've got to just be aware of that and know where you're going and trust your sources and don't believe everything you read, social media or otherwise. And a lot of people, that's what makes me nervous. A lot of people are getting the news from social media. If, somebody tells you something and it's connecting you to a bona fide news source, that's one thing. If it's just connecting you to some gossip or some, fake picture or some rumor thing that's going around, then I have some worries about that.
Yeah, it gets confusing. It's hard to navigate that sometimes, though, Herb. I mean, you're overwhelmed with it sometimes. I can't tell you the number of times when some sort of tragedy or big news story breaks, when I go to my news feed and I'm just appalled by some of the stuff that gets posted, so much of it.
Right. Well, and if I just, I know you got to do a commercial soon, but you know, I just did a story. It's up on consumerman.com about the big fear now is with the Olympics. People are going to get links and email and on their social media and on their Facebook. It's going to say, hey, the U.S. soccer team just did this. Hey, did you see Michael Phelps did this? Hey, you can't believe the garbage that was found in the water or whatever. People are going to click these links that were deliberately sent out by criminals. The criminal world is going to have a field day with the Olympics and how many people are looking to do things, stream media, see pictures, whatever. And, you know, you click that link and you could be downloading malicious software in your computer and you have no idea it's happening. It's in the background. You'll never notice it. And it could be stealing all the stuff that's on your computer. You have to be at the absolute height of carefulness during the Olympic Games. There's going to be a field day for these crooks.
Well, it starts tonight. And is that piece up? Can people read that?
Yeah, it's right up on the website, consumerman.com. It is right up there.
Yeah, because the Olympics start tonight, so that stuff's going to be happening starting today, essentially.
And for all of your business people listening, because I'm sure you have a lot of business people listening, the article also talks about the fact that they have to be extra alert. There was a survey that was done that showed IT people realize there's an extra threat here, and they're not really doing anything about it, which is really scary. Companies really do need to put policies out about who can watch and when, because, you know, if everybody starts watching, like Michael Phelps doing a big swimming event, they could bring down your network. You could lose your customers almost like a denial of service who couldn't get through because your guys are tying up the bandwidth. And many security experts I spoke to said it would make more sense to put a TV set in the break room, a big screen TV, and when there's a big event, say take five and go watch it, than have everybody try to live stream it on their individual computers. They could bring your company down to its knees. And that's happened before, like on March Madness and that kind of thing. That's not out of the ordinary. So companies have to be really, really careful. If anybody's listening who's an IT person or corporate person, all that stuff is in that article as well.
All right. Make sure you check it out. That's at consumerman.com. And again, Herb, how often does your newsletter come out?
I put it out once a week.
Okay, so it's a once-a-week newsletter, and you can subscribe to it in addition to reading all the articles there. The article that we were just talking about this survey about social media, that's up. You can read the full article there. And the article about the Olympics is happening.
By the way, my college roommate is a guy who does the Olympics for NBC. I don't know if you know that or not.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, Bob and I were college roommates at Syracuse.
Oh, you know what? I did know that.
Yeah,
I did. I just
and I asked him, you know, because last time it was the red eyes, and I said, please don't get Zika.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, please just don't get Zika.
Well, you got it. I totally forgot about the red eyes. Yeah. That's right. Is Costas a good guy?
Oh, phenomenal guy. Yeah. We talked about for about 10 minutes before he left and talked about the doping. It was right after the doping thing came out. And Bob is like totally, totally anti-doping. I mean, it's like this is the competition should be against, you know, competitors who are on an equal footing, not enhanced. And he just left Vladimir Putin and the entire Russian government. And he just went nuts on going after that. He is very, very upset about what's going on with that.
I've always liked Bob, and I loved his late night talk show. I thought his interview show was great.
Yep. Just a really great guy.
Yeah, very, very, very cool. All right, Herb, hang on, okay?
You got it.
Herb Weisbaum is with us, and you can check him out at consumerman.com. You can follow him on Twitter at TheConsumerMan and on Facebook at ConsumerMan. And all of the stuff that we talk about, we got a couple more stories here that we're going to talk about, are available online. And you can also check them out at NBCNews.com. And again, if you have questions or concerns consumer-related, call or text us right now, 312-981-7200, and we'll come back to Herb right after this. Morning, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Allstate Studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower. We're here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5, and Steve Cochran with your morning drive at 6. Herb Weisbaum is with us. He joins us once a month. He is an Emmy Award-winning reporter who covers the consumer beat for NBCNews.com. You can check out all his stories at consumerman.com. Herb, welcome back, sir.
Yes, sir.
All right. Robocalls. This is something that comes up. This comes up every time you're on the show.
Have news.
Oh, yeah, exactly. No, I know. And that's what I wanted to talk about, the thing that you wrote, the latest about phone companies pledging to stop robocalls. So what's the latest?
And before we go to that, I just want to give you some numbers. There's some new statistics that just came out from a company called Umail. They're one of these management companies that deals with tracking robocalls and that kind of thing. They estimate that Americans got 2.4 billion robocalls in June. 2.4 billion. That is 10 for every man, woman, or child old enough to answer the phone in this country.
That's incredible.
completely out of control. So it's the fake IRS inspector, and it's the bogus Microsoft tech call, and it's a telemarketing scam, and it's I'll reduce your credit card debt. I mean, you name it, it's there. It's estimated that we now lose, according to Consumer Reports, about $350 million a year to these robocall scams. And they estimate that businesses waste 20 million hours a year answering and dealing with these robocalls. So it's clearly a problem, number one problem of the Federal Communications Commission. So we've been talking about this for more than a year, where everybody's been trying to encourage the telephone companies to do something proactively, to come up with some kind of screening service, like we have a spam filter in our email, to help folks with this problem. They have been saying that they couldn't do it because the regulations prohibited them from blocking anything. They were required to deliver every telephone call. So the FCC ruled a while back, no, that's not illegal. You have our permission. Give people the service. They want a blocking service. As long as they sign up for it, you're allowed to do it. So now, nothing happened. The chairman of the Federal Communications Commission, Tom Wheeler, writes him a letter and says, hey, are you going to do anything? Because if not, you know, we've been really nice in asking you, but we do have this regulatory process we could start. And all of a sudden, 2 or 3 days later, the head of AT&T writes and says, okay, nice idea. We're going to start a robocall strike force industry-wide, and we're going to tackle the situation. So we'll have to wait and see if this is more than talk or they're going to do something. But indeed, the industry sounds like got the message that people really want them to do something about this, and they pledge they're going to start to work on it. He has asked the chairman of the FCC for some kind of response back, like in 30 days or something. Like, I want to know what in the world is going on. But it is clearly possible. They can do it. The technology exists. It's they just have to want to do it.
Now, how long did the FCC give the okay to do this, and how long has nothing happened? How long has it been?
I don't have the exact date, but it was months ago. It was months ago that the FCC finally said, you guys have the right to do this. There's nothing legally prohibiting you from doing this. So it's been quite some time. Then just sat there. It's like, okay. And when I interviewed them, they basically said, well, we don't plan to do, after this, when I did the follow-up story, well, we don't really plan to do anything. Yeah, we have the right to do it. We still don't feel like we want to do it, even though they got rid of that excuse. So now the chairman is sort of trying to push them a little bit and get them to get into gear, because this is just such an incredible problem, especially for so many seniors who get these calls. They wind up getting, you know, taken by it, kind of thing, or they feel like they're harassed by it the whole time. It's just a mess. And now, of course, they're switching to cell phones, because we're all walking around with cell phones. They don't care whether it's legal or illegal to do it. They're in some other country spoofing the number with a computer in, you know, Bosnia Herzegovina or something, and sending it over here, kind of thing.
And will this, you know, I mean, obviously the numbers are insane. 2.4
yes.
billion robocalls in 1 month.
In a month.
I mean, that's nuts. But are we going to see, as we get closer to the election, are we going to see this, you know, is this going to increase because of the elections?
Yes, and believe it or not, on your landline telephone, there is no prohibition about certain kinds of robocalls, and there is no prohibition against a political robocall or a robocall from a public service organization. The only prohibition for robocalls on a landline phone are for telemarketers. That's the rules to control robocalls. Well, if you're not trying to sell you something, if it's a political call, that's considered freedom of speech, and they're allowed to do that kind of thing. Robocalls are prohibited without permission on a cell phone, without advance permission, but on your landline phone, you can get all kinds of calls.
Is there any way, you know, obviously, you know, the FCC said it was okay, and now, you know, they're going to put this, which I like the term strike force, Herb.
Strike force, yeah. You have to say it with reverb.
Yeah.
Strike force.
Okay, well, hold on, I can do that. Strike force.
Yeah, that's it, man. You got it.
That's it right there. So that's what they're going to do. They're going to AT&T, at least, is going to put the strike force on the streets right now. I think I've got DC's new movie right there. It's the robocall strike force. But what can we do? Is there anything that we can do to try to prevent these, and when we get them, what to do?
Sure. The first thing is, there are a number, if you have a cell phone, there are a number of apps available. They're free, and they can help you screen calls, block calls, etc. And if you go to the article that I posted on the web, it's on my website, it gives you direct links to all these things. They have names like Hiya or White Pages. Nomo Robo, which is a service we've talked about before,
yep,
just came out with a service for your cell phone. It's $4.99 a month, I believe. It's very effective, and it does not ask for any of your contacts, as some of these other ones do. They don't use the contacts. contactless to screen the calls. They have their own proprietary algorithms. Nomo Robo is also available if you have a VoIP and internet telephone service. There's basically very little that's available at this point in time for the landline phones. That's the really big problem. Mm. There is some stuff. And then again, if it rings, don't ever respond. If it says push number two, if you'd like to get on our do not call list, this is Mr. Con Artist calling you. They don't have a do not call list. You push that two or push one or whatever you do, or if you call them back, you tell their computer you've got a working telephone number, and now you will get more robocalls. So the advice is if you get a call that you don't recognize a number, let it go to your voicemail. If it's a robocall, don't respond. And then if it's somebody you need to get back to, get back to them.
Okay.
The other, by the way, Nick, the one other really cool thing they've suggested, which is a really neat idea the FCC suggested, and they said they liked it, is having what's called a do not originate list. And basically what it means is they'd have a whole bunch of phone numbers on the list that they know are based in the U.S., so like the IRS or whatever it would be, right? And then if the computers picked up that this call was coming from outside the U.S., then they would know automatically that it was a robocall. So, for instance, if somebody's claiming to be an IRS calling you from Czechoslovakia, from Prague, from Poland, from wherever, the computer would say, nah, this is the IRS. They don't make calls from Poland or Scandinavia or whatever. Block the call. That could stop an enormous amount of these robocalls by instituting something as simple as that. So that's one of the things we're talking about. I think it's got a good possibility if they would just get down and do it.
Okay. Boy, $2.4 billion in 1 month. Man, that's staggering. It really is.
It is.
Real quick, the story that you wrote about student debt and how people are dealing with student debt. They're putting off marriage. They're not buying homes. This is a really fascinating piece that you wrote, Herb. Talk a little bit about that.
Very concerning. It was a survey that was done by Consumer Reports, and it found that 45% of the people they surveyed in a national survey, representative survey, indicated they weren't so sure that they were happy they took out the student loans and got so deep in debt. And it shows that they're doing a whole lot of things to cope with this, such as not buying cars, not buying a house, sometimes staying with parents, putting off marriage, putting off having kids. And there's been talk about what an economic impact this could have on the overall society of people not doing the normal things you do after you get out of college. People just absolutely buried and struggling with debt. And it has a lot of people asking the question, I think we should be asking it. Yes, you want to go to college, but is it really worth being so buried in debt when you get out that it really ruins your life for maybe 20 years down the road? I interviewed a nurse who was in Portland, and she's got $158,000 worth of debt right now. She's got a good job. She still can't pay it off. And she said, if I had my druthers, I would have had a lower paying job. I wouldn't have had all the student debt. And I'm sorry I went this way, because I'm never going to have a house, and I'm never going to get married, and I'm never going to have kids, because I don't want anybody to be stuck with the debt I'm carrying on my back.
I mean, that was really
it's really sad.
It really is. It was such a sad story here. I mean, this is another, some of the numbers that you have here. 78% of the people who graduated are earning less than $50,000 per year, and they've got enormous amounts of debt.
Yeah, and they just don't have any way. I mean, they just feel like, she said, I can't get sick. I can't take vacations. I can't go out to eat. If I go to a movie once in a while, I feel totally guilty. And that's horrible. She's got this great education, and now she feels like she's got this weight on her back the entire time every day she goes to work.
This is not a new thing, though, right? It's obviously student debt has been something that people have had to deal with.
It's just so high now. So some people are running up, if you go to a graduate school or a medical school, we're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars now that people are strapped with. And if it doesn't work and you don't, get the job that pays the money to pay it off, you're in really, really big trouble. And like I said, some experts are now saying maybe you should go to a good school, but not the greatest school in the world that you can't afford. You need to, and a lot of people don't plan through the whole cost of the 4 years. They get through year one and then try to figure out how to get through year two. If you're going to go to college, you got to figure out the plan. How am I going to pay for 4 years at this place? And if you can't figure out how you're going to pay for 4 years, then you better reassess before you go to that place.
Yeah. Okay. It's a very informative and kind of a sad piece, by the way, Herb.
Yeah, it is. But it's a reality check.
It is reality. Yeah. Absolutely. That's exactly right. And you can read it at consumerman.com as you can. All the stories that we talked about. You can subscribe to Herb's newsletter, which I recommend that you do. It's always great to talk to you, Herb. And we will we'll talk to you next month.
You're great. Be well. Have a good time off, and I'll talk to you in September.
Yeah, I'll talk to you. Yeah, we'll talk to you then. And you got to let me know when you're going to see the checkout before they check out concert.
I'll let you know what the next one is.
All right, Herb. Always a pleasure, buddy. Thank you.
Take care.
Take care, man. There you go. Herb Weissbaum. He's the best. Consumerman.com is the website. Follow him on Twitter and Facebook at Consumer Man. Fascinating guy and always helpful. And I've learned a lot from him ever since I started doing the show when he was a regular on the show. I learned from him like every week or every month, not every week, every month when he's on. So there you go. All right, we got a break here. News is up next on WGN.